I'd like to make a few remarks before I begin my sermon. First of all, thank you. Thank you for all of you. As you have come today, make this a certain thing in your life. That as I, if at all, have been a blessing to your life, many times over, you have been a blessing to me. God has blessed me astronomically in so many ways beyond my comprehension. The Apostle Paul said, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means win some. During my time here at Waldo Baptist Church, I've heard it referred to as a dog and pony show, some of the things I've done. Probably quite aptly. Some of you talked me into stuffing claws and paper into my shirt to make me have muscles. So that when I walked out on the stage before 1,000 people, I could preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. David Abel, where are you, David? Did you leave? Okay, he's up there in the balcony. I see you, brother. My good brother David Atwell, he talked me into putting a bandana rag tied around my head and coming in through the doors of the church as Jack the Rapper. With rap music going on, and the kids loved it. All the adults thought, well, he's crazier than we thought he was. I've had 500 pounds of ice laid on my body while I laid on a bed of nails. And they assured me, this won't hurt you. And two men with sledgehammers broke the ice over my body. The next day I went to the chiropractor and they said, how did you do this? And I said, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. It's been a journey, my brothers and sisters. But we certainly have not traveled alone. I want you to know that today, this is not about me. Not about me at all. Paul and I have talked, and we were picking up pears under a pear tree one day, and I said, Paul, what do you really think God thinks about us? He looked at me in face real serious and he said, what a pair. Amen. Amen. You see, this has little to do with me. I think when God chose me, he said, the Father said to the Son, who do you think? Who do you really think that we could choose out of all the people on the earth that would be the most inept, the least likely, and the people that would think was least capable of me using for his glory, for my glory? And I think the son said, oh, I know who that is. That's a country boy lives down there in Mesa County. He said, well, what's his name? He said, Jack Russell, named after dogs. He said, I really think he would be the one. I mean, if you really want to glorify yourself, if you really want to glorify yourself, you use that fellow down there. Because I had people come to hear me preach that said I couldn't. I heard people come to hear me talk that say I never heard him. So I want, if you don't carry anything else away from this place today, you carry away that my Christ is the King of Glory. Amen. He is the sovereign God of this universe. Amen. And as another son of my ministry would say, there's not a renegade molecule in the universe that he does not control. I love y'all. Now let's get down to preaching, okay? Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to call you Father and know it's true. For 50 years now, you've walked with me. 49 here at this church. You've always been faithful. They've come to me and said, well, how did you do it? And I said, oh, I didn't. I couldn't. And I won't. But my Father in heaven, that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the one that has all power, heaven and earth, the one that spoke this world into creation when it was nothing, this Father of mine and this Savior that I have named Christ Jesus, I said, you have to understand who they are. They are the Almighty God. From everlasting to everlasting, they do not change. And they are the ones that have built this church in a cornfield. They're the ones that have spoke through this incapable country boy. They're the ones who came down out of heaven and died in my place. They're the ones that have called me out of darkness into light, that have called me by their grace, that have changed my life, that have made me a child of God, that have called me to the highest calling on earth, that have given me the power of the Holy Spirit, that have anointed my head with oil, that have said, we will use thee, and you shall speak the word of God, and God in you, Christ in you, the living Son of glory, we shall do things which you cannot believe. You shall speak things which you could not speak. And you will see things that you could never imagine in all your life you could see. Because we are an almighty God. From everlasting to everlasting, we do not change. And son, we have come to live in you. And son, we will carry you. And son, we will be faithful to you. And son, we will use you. And you shall see and we shall do mighty things that are beyond all your imagination. Not because of who you are, not because of what we've done, but because of who we are. We are the God of glory. So, son, it really doesn't matter who you are. The only thing that matters, son, is who we are. And we are the God of creation, the God of glory, the everlasting Father, and the victorious Son, and the mighty Holy Spirit. And we shall never leave nor forsake you. Father in heaven, as your servant, as your son. Speak through me today. Speak the words that you want me to hear, that they need to hear. Speak your words through me today, that you might be glorified above all things. And I ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And through his shed blood, I pray. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, and I forgot my glasses today, so if I read something wrong, you just say, oh, he's old, he can't read anyway. And I'm actually going to be preaching from actually the 14th verse of the book of Ephesians in the 3rd chapter, chapter 3, verse 14. And I'll be preaching down through verse 21. Let's hear the word of our Lord. Although I'm less than least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Sin, very important. His intent was that now through the church, the church is not this building. The church is you. Now through the church, this amazing scripture says, it was God's intent that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Isn't that something? According to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the Apostle Paul has spoke to the church at Ephesus. And he's saying very clearly to them that God has chosen you. And I want to say to each one of you, if you're a born-again believer and a child of God and a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has chosen you. It was his intent to choose you. It was his intent that through your life, he might reveal a mystery that has been hidden through the ages until the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That there is a God in heaven that has created all things by the breath of his word. And he has sent to us a Savior, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, died on a cross for all our sins. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. That through your life, it is his intent that through your life, the manifold wisdom of God might be seen. It might be revealed. It might be spoken of. And it might be lived out through your life. So that when other people see you, they don't see you. They see a risen Christ. They see a God that is supreme over his creation. That in your life, in your words, in your speech, in the way you carry yourself, in your character, that the manifold wisdom of God might be revealed. That where there was no way for mankind, because they had fallen in sin, God has made a way where there was no way. And that way is only one way. There is no other way. And it is by grace. It is by faith. And it is by Christ alone. There is no other way. Never has been, never will be. And so when we come down to verse 14, Paul does something that most Jews don't do. They stand up when they pray, but he bows his knee. And he says, I kneel for this reason. I kneel before the Father from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And that's you. And he says, as in his prayer, I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, notice what he says, that you, being rooted and established in love, who's he talking to? He's talking to you, so that you may have power together with all the saints to lay hold of, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, abundantly more, abundantly above all we might ask or think. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. Abundantly above all we might ask or think. I can ask for a lot. I don't know about you. I can think of a lot. I don't know about you. And my God says, son, daughter, don't you realize who I am? I can do abundantly above all you would ever imagine or ask or think. That's who I am. And then the real reason for it all. To him be glory in the church. To him. To him be glory in the church. And in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, throughout the ages of the ages of the ages, forever and forever and forevermore, and amen. Now I want to give you five steps to what he has said today, that what is down here in verse 21 might come to reality in your life. That to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Many of you that are here today were here. Some of you, very few. A lot of Britt and Reed, Susan. If you were here when I came here, would you raise your hand? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are 7 that are here, at least, that are here. Oh, a balcony, 8, 9, maybe 10 that are here when I came here today. And you might say, well, look around you. Look at these buildings. Look at all these things. And look at what God has accomplished through you. And I say, I don't mean a thing. And if the church builds another building, which they're planning to do over here, that's not really what's important. It's not really about these buildings aren't what's important. It's the people that come through these buildings. It's you. You're the one. It is what eternal impact has Waldo Baptist Church had on the lives of the people that have come through these doors. It is you. It is what impact has your life in eternity, not what how big a house you live in. God could care less. Now, he does care about you, but he could care less if you live in a mansion or you live in an apartment. He could care less. It doesn't really matter what kind of car you drive. He could care less. But how many people have come to know Christ? How has eternity been changed? How many people have you loved to Christ? How many people have you witnessed to? How many people have you led to Christ? How many times have you got in your car and you got up when you didn't feel like it and when it wasn't convenient and come to this church and you have worshiped Almighty God even though you didn't feel like it? Or how many of you have sat on your hind end at home on Sunday night or Wednesday night and watched something on television or played with something else and did not come to church because you just didn't feel like it? But the next morning you got up and you went to work whether you felt like it or not. And I didn't come here today to be popular. Some of you will be glad when I leave. I came here to tell you the truth. And the truth is, Christ is worth it. Christ is worth it. He's worth everything. And I won't be judged in heaven according to how much money I had in the bank or what kind of house I lived in or what kind of clothes I wear. One of these days I'm going to get David Abel to dress like me. I'm still praying for you, brother. It's how my life impacted eternity. It's how your life impacted eternity. That's what's really going to matter. That's why he prays here. What does he pray? That you be strengthened with power in your innermost being, in your inner man, that you be strengthened with power. Because you're going to need it. In this world, in this culture in which we live today, people won't want to hear your story. They won't want to hear what you have to say. They may not even like you because of what you do, what you believe, what you say. But they never liked Jesus either. He came to his own and his own received him not. But I'll tell you this. He came to this country boy from Massac County and he turned my world upside down. And I've never been the same since that day. And let me tell you something, my brother, my friend, and if you're here today and you're lost, let me tell you something. The greatest thing that ever happened in your life is not that you win the lottery, not that you have more money than somebody else, not how big a house you live in, not what kind of car you drive. The greatest thing that ever happened to you in your life is when this living God that created heavens and earth comes to live in your life through the Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, through faith in Him, repenting of your sins, realizing you're not worthy for even to untie His shoelace, but He died on the cross for your sins and mine, and He is the King of glory. When you receive power, Paul prayed that you might have power in your innermost being. Notice what he says there. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That's an interesting word, this word dwell. It doesn't mean he visited. It means he moved in. You see, Christ doesn't just visit me. He lives in me. He dwells in me. I'm never alone. But that word dwell means something else. It means to feel comfortable. Some people don't like to hear me preach because they say I make them uncomfortable. you know, I really don't care. I care less if I make you uncomfortable. That saves you from hell and brings you to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll make you as uncomfortable as you can be. Let me ask you something. I found this illustration. I'm going to use it. You may like it, you may not, but that doesn't bother me either. This fellow's name is Robert Munger, and he wrote this book. And the name of the book is My Heart, Christ's Home. My Heart, Christ's Home. Isn't that something? Sometimes I think about who I am in Christ, and it just makes me want to laugh. You say, what's so funny about that? That the God that spoke this world into existence and holds it together by the power of His Word lives in this scudder boy? Isn't that a joke? Isn't that unbelievable? But it's true. And the name of the book was My Heart and Christ's Home. And the way he wrote the book, it is Christ that has come into someone's home, into his house, into their house, into their home, into their heart. See, that's home. This Christ's home, okay? All right, so he goes into the library in the home, and the library is where all the information is kept. And believe me, my library is leaking. Because it's your brain. There's some books fell out of my library already. I'm going to tell you that. So he goes into the brain. He goes into the control room. He goes into the library of the home. And he goes into the library of the home, and he finds some things in there that shouldn't be there. He finds things in there that we'd call trash. He finds some things in there some people might call sick. He finds some things in there that people call evil. He finds some things in there that you've put in there that you know shouldn't be there. And he says, we've got to clean this out. We've got to clean this out. You know how you clean that out? First you get saved, and then you put the Word of God in there. Trash out, the Word in. You'll find as the Word goes in, trash goes out. Won't happen apart from His Word. So he goes in the control room. I better hurry up. I won't get through the house. All right. Next he goes into the dining room. You say, well, what's in the dining room? Well, that's where your appetite is, isn't it? Huh? You know what appetite is? That's the desires you have. And now it really gets personal, doesn't it? He looks at the desires of your heart. Desires of your heart is to... You think the one that dies with the most toys is the best? Has it the best? We'll talk about that later, but... In the dining room, you've got desires shouldn't be there. He says, we need to clean out the dining room. We need to clean out the dining room because there are affections and desires in there that shouldn't be there. All right, and then he goes in the living room. As you go to the living room, that's a place where we have socialize, right? That's where we sit around and talk. We sit around and talk with each other, visit with one another, and that's where we have our friends, right? As he goes in the living room, he looks around at your friends and he says, you know, you got some friends that probably shouldn't be in here. You may be running with the wrong crowd, young person. You need to change who you're running with. You need to change your friends. And so he goes out of the living room. And he says, you need to get some of the wrong relationships cleaned up in your life. Don't see any real true fellowship. Then he goes into, fellas, your workshop. Goes into your workshop. Well, what does he find in your workshop? He finds tools. Finds tools in your workshop. Well, he looks around and what you've done with these tools, and all you've done is with these tools is you've made toys. You've made trinkets. Might have built a boat in your workshop. Might have a camper in your workshop. Might have a lot of things in your workshop. And he looks at them and he says, how are your toys going to change the kingdom? You need to use your tools for an eternal purpose. You need to use your tools for the kingdom purpose, an everlasting purpose. Or how else are people's lives going to be changed? My brothers and sisters, why do you think God has blessed you with what he has if you're not going to use it for his kingdom? I was talking to Brother Nate, and by the way, let me say to all of you, I love this man, Nathan Martin. His name is Nathan. We all call him Nate. He calls me Jack. I've been called a lot worse. Now I forgot what I was going to say about him. Oh, yeah, I remember now. Nate, I love you, brother. I love you. I really do. I love this man. I thank God. You know, I thought about retiring when Trad did. I thought, well, Trad was so much like me. I thought, well, I'll probably leave too. God said, no, it's not the right time. He said, you need to stay here. I told Nate one day, I said, I think I'm rubbing off on you. He said, I hope it's not too much. That's honest to God truth. We have a great pastor in Nate Martin. And he knows the word better than I ever could. And he preaches the truth. He preaches the word as it is to people as they are. You be thankful for Nate. You be thankful for Caleb. You be thankful for David Atwell, even if he doesn't dress right. You be thankful for Kenny Forthman. You be thankful for all the staff and all the people in our church that serve the Lord, and like you have over the years, you have stood by me. You deacons, you stood by me at some of my hardest times when I almost had a nervous breakdown, when I was hurting worse than I ever did in all my life. You stood by me. You don't know how much I love you. You will never understand how much I appreciate you till we get to heaven. You will never know. You will never know. I got to go on. I can't do all this. Oh, man. Then he walks in the closet. Then Christ walks in the closet. You say, oh. He said, what's this? And you say, that's a closet. He said, what do you keep in there? You say, oh, I keep my secret things. Oh, that's where your secret sins are, isn't it? In his closet. Yeah. Everybody else may not know about it. He does. That's your secret sins. Oh, yeah, you put on a good face. You come to church. You do all this stuff. But in the closet, that's where you put all his secret stuff. He says, open the door. He said, well, wait a minute. He said, you've got everything else. You've got everything else. Can't I just keep this to myself? He said, open the door. You see, Jesus Christ did not die on the cross just to be your Savior. He died on the cross to be the Lord of your life. To be Lord of all. Open the door. And he looks in there. There's some nasty things in there. There's things in there that smell dead. He said, clean it out. Clean the closet out. You clean the closet out. You clean the living room out. You clean the dining room out. You clean the workshop out. I'll fill it with more power and glory than you can ever imagine. You see, I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you might think or ask, not according to you, but according to my power that is at work within you. So you've got to clean it all out. Jesus has to be Lord. And I can stand here before you and say there's times in my life where I have failed. And so will Nate, and so will Caleb, and so will David, and so will others. Because there's none of us perfect yet. But do I want it cleaned out? Do I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life more than anything else in this world? More than anything else in this world. Because you I ain't got time to do all this because some of you are hungry. I am too. He says, I pray you being rooted and established in love. Rooted. Established. The foundation of everything, as far as Christ is concerned. As far as Christ is concerned, he don't care if I dress like David Abel or I dress like Jack Russell. He'd care less. He'd care less whether the best you got is blue jeans or the best you got is a three-piece suit. He'd care less whether you got it from the thrift store or that place at Dillard's that I can't afford to buy anything. He care less. You know what he really cares about wanting to reap? You. He cares about that I love you and you love me. That's what he cares about, Susan. That you love me and I love you, Robin. Because if you haven't got love, Shirley, you have any. This guy here, Noah, he's a young guy. Matthew, young guy. Man, I'm so proud of you. Love you guys. I hope you love me. I hope you see Christ in me. You see, honey, love you. Son, when it really comes down to it, the greatest all of these, granddaughter, is that I love you. And that every day I live, I have loved this woman the best I can. Because when I get to heaven, he's not going to ask me, well, son, how great a pastor were you? He's going to say, son, did you love your wife well? Son, did you love your son well? Did you love your family well? Did you love my church well? Because, son, if you ain't got that, it's all going to fall down. It's all going to fall down. You've got to be rooted. You've got to have your roots in my love. And you've got to have your roots in my love so deep that my love goes out of you to them. And not only do they hear you say, I love you, but they feel the love that you have him. Rooted and grounded in love. I don't even know what time it is. We'll see. I'm already past time. Now look at this. He says to grasp. And you know what that means? Even no country boy like Eddie Morgan knows what that means. To grasp. You lay hold of it. You lay hold of it. You lay hold of what? What is it you hold on to? What is it you grasp? What did you reach out for and you hold on to like it's life or death? You hold on to the very fact that how deep, how wide, how high, and how full is the love of Jesus Christ. You lay hold of that kind of love, he says, is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be filled full to all the fullness of God. Boy, I wish they could say that about me. I wish they could say I was filled full to the fullness of God. I am positionally. I'm already in heaven, you know that? Positionally. That's what it said in Ephesians chapter 1. I've already seated with him in the heavenlies. All the fullness of God. Lord, I have failed that so many times. But you just keep on filling me up. Now I'm going to get to the end. We're going to close. Now to him. Now to him. Now to him above everything else. Now to him who is able. Who is able to do what? My version says to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. You know, I imagine a lot of stuff. Can't you? I came to a little old white church building across the road with, on a good day, on a real good day, on a really good day, you know, like Easter, we might have, you know, a lot of people just come to church twice, lilies and the poinsettias. A lot of people just come to church twice, see lilies and the poinsettias, that's Easter and Christmas. You know what I mean. And we might have on a day like that, we might have 80 people in that little white church building across the road, and we have a meeting, and somebody says, let's build that church. We're outgrowing this thing. Let's build a church. And they voted to build a church. I thought we had a lot of money, $50,000. That ain't nothing nowadays. We built this church, that building, another building. But that isn't in what's important. But you know, when I come over there in that little white frame building, I could not imagine that one day all this stuff would be here. And I kept hearing Steve Heine pray these prayers. God, keep pouring out your spirit on us. Keep filling us with your power. Keep working through us that we might fill this hill with buildings full of people that know Jesus Christ, and they might come to this cornfield out in the middle of nowhere, and they might know that the only reason they're here is because you brought them here. And that's why you're here. I couldn't imagine that. In a little white frame building across the road, I could. But more than that, I could not imagine that I'd ever have the staff I had. I could not imagine that I'd ever have the deacons I'd have. I could not imagine that I'd ever have the singers I'd have. I could not imagine that I'd ever have the people I had that walked through those doors and said, "Praise the Lord, it is well with my soul." Could not imagine that we would see Christ build a missionary society that would reach all around the world. And one of these days, I'm going to ascend to my Father in heaven. One of these days, he's going to say, son, it's time. It's time. You say, well, how do you know that? Because this old tent is wearing out. That's why I didn't teach Sunday school this morning. I'm about good for one shot, and that's it. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I look in the mirror, and I don't see the guy that came to that little white frame church building. I see an 81-year-old man. I'm going to tell you something. I don't even recognize that guy that's over. This tent's wearing out. Yes, it is. But I want to tell you something. As this tent wears out on the outside, God is making it stronger on the inside. And as this tent on the outside diminishes, the power on the inside gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And Christ in me. Christ in me is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I might ask or think. Can you imagine that? Christ in me is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I might ask, think, or imagine. And to him alone be glory in the church throughout the ages of the ages of the ages in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Let's have our musicians come. Now while they're coming, let me talk to you, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. I don't know what they're going to sing, but whatever they sing will be fine. If my God that changed my life is speaking to your heart, and you need to come to this altar, I don't know what you need to come for. You do. Nate and I was talking the other day. As a Christian, as we grow older, sometimes we drift away. He was using the illustration of the wiring in his house and sparks flying out, and a lot of the connections had become loose over time. Have your connections with Christ become loose over time? That's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, not the person next to you, I'm asking you. Have your connections with Christ become loose over time? If they have, let's tighten them up. You come to this altar, don't come to me, you come to this altar and you tell Christ your Savior, the Lord of heaven, that you're sorry that you've drifted away. And you want to tighten up your fellowship with Him. If you're here today and God has brought you here, that's why you're here, isn't it? Or maybe you just came to see if I'd fall out and croak. I don't know. Why are you here? But if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you something. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And my Christ died for you so that you wouldn't have to face eternal punishment. He died in your place for your sins that you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you could know Him as Lord and Savior. And you could live with Him throughout the ages of the ages of the ages, forever and ever, in a perfect place with a perfect God and a perfect Savior, and be forgiven of all your sins. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray for somebody you know that's lost. I don't know. I know this. I know my God is here.
Amen.
Because you're here and I'm here. Amen, Mary Ellen?
Amen.
I saw her. I was getting my hair cut the other day. I told the lady to cut my hair. I said, try to make me look good. She said, I'm not a magician. If you're here and you're not saved, I want to give you an invitation. Come to Christ. Right now, today. If He's speaking to your heart. If He's not speaking to your heart, I don't want you to come. If He's speaking to your heart, you're convicted of your sins, you repent of your sins, you reach out to Christ in faith, accept Him as your Savior, welcome Him into your life, and then live for Him forever. That's what I want you to do, if that's you today.